just like last season, the Giants are always going to give you a tough game. And yesterday, man, that was a tough one to swallow. After the high that was Sunday, we recap that was the low that was Monday's loss on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Man, tough one last night for the Brew Crew. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. We are your only daily podcast dedicated to the Milwaukee Brewers, bringing you all the news and notes and recaps and analysis and everything you can ever know, ever want to know about your favorite team, the Brew Crew. Of course, yesterday was a tough one, as the Brewers fall by a final of 4-2 to the Giants. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening from on your podcast platform of choice, and subscribe to our YouTube page. And we dropped a, well, poorly timed, just with the coincidence, of course, of Trevor Gott giving up the go-ahead home run to Jock Peterson yesterday. But Monday morning, we dropped our first In the Hopper episode, where we take a deep dive into statistical and advanced analytics, trying to make it digestible for you. Just 5.5 minutes of your time to learn something new about Trevor Gott and what the Brewers saw in him. So I encourage you to go check out our YouTube channel if you want to see that. I am the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. I'm at virtually every game. And yesterday was a busy day for me with what Corbin Burnes was doing. Man, oh man. Back-to-back nights, the Brewers get at least 10 strikeouts from their starting pitcher. That is the ninth time it has ever happened in Brewers history, the last time happening in 2017. So Lauer on Sunday Night Baseball gets 13 strikeouts, and Burnes yesterday gets 11 strikeouts. But they have one thing in common: no decision. Man, no decision. So we're going to recap the game here first. We're going to react to Corbin Burnes' amazing start. I don't want to continue to harp on the offense, but it is a main story right now, the lack of offense. And then we're going to get you ready for the Pittsburgh series. It was on cruise control there for a while, but let's start with our game recap. A light day of action yesterday around baseball. There were only 7 games scheduled, and the Brewers were the first one, of course. As it's been well said, this is the first of the one-off games against the Giants this season, in which the Brewers have to make up that series that was postponed from the lockout, postponing the first week of the season. They just added on the Diamondbacks at the end of the schedule, so they'll come back here at the very end of the season as opposed to opening the season with them. But as for San Francisco, so yesterday was the first one against the Giants, and then they have a doubleheader not until Thursday, September 8th. So you can still win the series against the Giants, but they won't see them at home again until a doubleheader on September 8th. They go to San Francisco for 4 games to close out the first half, July 14th through July 17th. So Corbin Burnes got the start, and it was clear when they moved Carlos Rodon back a day that the Giants were going with a Johnny Holstaff day. Sam Long pitched 1 inning. The only guy who threw more than 1 inning was Brebbia, and Brebbia threw 2 innings. I mean, they threw 8 different arms at the Brewers, which is always tough to make an adjustment against. Every inning was a new pitcher. Nobody threw more than 30 pitches in this game for the Giants. But the way this started for the Brewers and Corbin Burnes, he allowed a hit in the second inning, and then it was just lockdown Corbin Burnes. It was a full Cy Young performance once again from Corbin. I don't know how else to describe it other than just pure dominance. I mean, it's so entertaining to watch somebody as good as him do his craft and be as good as he is at it, but at the same time, have the finesse and have the feel to switch speeds and understand how teams are taking swings against him, what he sees, what he's learning, what Caratini is calling behind the plate. Let's just go through a few numbers from this start from Corbin Burnes. 6 2/3 innings, just 2 hits allowed, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. For a while there, he was just mowing guys down. 11 strikeouts for the 14th time to reach double digits in his strikeout, for double-digit strikeouts in his career for Corbin Burnes. I'm pulling out my trusty stats book here from all my notes from yesterday's game, but one of the stats that blew my mind from this game, aside from, of course, back-to-back starts with starters that go 10 strikeouts, again, ninth time in Brewer history that's ever happened. But for Corbin Burnes now, over the last 3 games started for him, he has thrown, going back to his second start of the year in Baltimore, his first start at home against Pittsburgh, and then yesterday against the Giants. Over his last three starts, he has thrown a total of 13 pitches with a runner in scoring position. Think about that for a second. He's thrown nearly 300 pitches over these three starts. 13 of them have been with a runner in scoring position. And he gets a no decision. I mean, he obviously did his job, to say the least. And the Giants had no answer for him. Everything was on. And you can tell early that everything was on for Corbin Burnes. And they gave him a lead early, a 1-0 lead, thanks to an RBI single from Mike Brasso on the infield. In fact, the first three hits of the game for the Brewers did not leave the infield. So they were holding on to this 1-0 lead for the majority of the game. But when you have Corbin Burnes on the mound, you're feeling great because he continues to mow down the Giants. Burnes, 106 pitches, 69 strikes. I gave you a moment to say the joke there, if you know what I'm talking about. He had 26 swings and misses. 26 swings and misses. Okay? 54 total swings. 26 swings and misses. Half the time the Giants were swinging, practically, they were swinging and missing. Think about the fact that these are big league hitters on the other side. This team led baseball in home runs last season. Brandon Belt is a Brewer killer. Jack Peterson, as we were reminded, a Brewer killer. They have great, great players on this team. The Giants, they have 12 wins now already. They are really freaking good. They look for real again. And Corbin Burnes, the reigning Cy Young winner, got them to swing and miss at half of their swings. That is an elite, freakish number. And he gets a no decision. So really tough luck for Corbin in this one. So the cutter, again, was the majority. They had no answer for it. He threw it 62% of the time yesterday. He had 16 whiffs on that pitch alone. He also got five swings and misses on the curveball. I don't know how else to describe Corbin Burnes because he is reaching freakish levels of dominance right now, and it's more proof that that opening day start was just a one-off. It was odd. It was the coldest start of his career. He won't admit that the weather made an issue, was an impact. It was an impact for sure. He's just ridiculous. Enjoy this, man. Just enjoy this. Somebody responded to one of the tweets from the Locked On Brewers account just with a blank check. I like that. That was pretty funny. That's going to be tough, given the other guy you're spending all that money on is not doing really anything right now. So maybe extension might not be on the table right now. Anyway, more about the game. So it's 1-0 Brewers through the first six innings of this game. Corbin Burnes is rolling. He gets to 11 strikeouts in the seventh inning. He did not complete the seventh inning because two men got on a ghost hit by pitch on Brandon Belt, a tough walk drawn by Jock Peterson. So he was lifted after that. So there are runners on first and second. He gets an out, and then he's done. He's lifted for Trevor Gott, and they get a caught stealing to end that inning, clutch by the laces of the glove on Colton Wong's tag to end that frame, and then send it on to the eighth inning when it was still a 1-0 Brewers lead. And Trevor Gott had the eighth inning to return out there, and it didn't look terrible, at least when he came back and returned onto the mound. Top of the eighth inning, though, began with Tyro Estrada grounding out. Then Jason Vosser struck out swinging, and you're thinking, all right, cool. It's going to be a quick frame. He only threw six pitches to get the first two outs. And then Casale doubles on the first pitch he sees, an ambush on his former battery mate in Trevor Gott. Of course, Gott facing his former team, the Giants. Casale doubles down to left field line. And then Jock Peterson, on the second pitch of the at-bat, crushes a no-doubter to center field to take a 2-1 lead. Two quick thoughts of the swings that we saw there at the end of the inning. Two out runs again. It's amazing. 58% of the runs against the Brewers this year have come with two outs. More than half of the runs they have allowed as a pitching staff have come with two outs. And it feels like all of them, I don't have the number on this, but it feels like all of them have come after two out walks. And this was another scenario of at least the inning continuing on a hit. This wasn't a two out walk. That comes in the ninth inning. But to the fans, I was open letter here. To the fans that were heckling Jock Peterson very loudly, and I'm not saying you can't heckle, and I'm not saying you're not allowed to have fun at the game, but you got to know who you're talking to. It's Jock Peterson. This dude's got a million homers against the Brewers. He loves these moments. He loves being the center of attention as far as looking like the villain. This was his entire career as a Dodger. He was embracing it as a Cub. He lives for those moments. And he crushes a no-doubter to center field. Kudos to Jock. I mean, it was a fastball down the middle. It was a mistake by Gott. But to those hecklers, come on, be better, okay? Anyway, so it's now a 2-1 game. We're headed to the bottom of the eighth inning. Offense is doing absolutely nothing again. And the Giants continue to roll out new guy. First, it was not, and by the way, Colton Wong batted ninth yesterday. First time he's done that in his Brewers career. Colton Wong batted ninth, led off the inning against lefty Jake McGee, their setup man. Flies out to deep center, hit it hard, but he flies out to deep center. So one gone. Next batter, Andrew McCutchen. He lines out to center field, two gone. And Willy Adames with two strikes and two outs, the clutchest hitter on the team last season, connects on a no-doubter into the Brewers bullpen in the left center field, 402 feet away. Last season, Willy Adames was among the best in the National League in late and close situations. Late and close is in the seventh inning or later when you're trailing by one or two runs or the tying run is on deck, or furthermore, you're ahead by only one run, okay? Late and close situations, last season, Willy Adames hit 410 with the Brewers and had an 1144 OPS, including three homers. That OPS actually led the National League. Finally, he breaks out of a mini funk he's in and hits a no-doubter to left center. Reminds everybody how special he is. 2-2 game now, heading to the top of the ninth inning. Jake Cousins comes in and again gets a couple of quick outs. A pop out softly, and he makes a good play on Darren Ruff's pop out. Gets Brandon Crawford to strike out swinging, and then a two-out walk. Not only that, a two-out walk on four pitches to Wilmer Flores. And to Wilmer Flores, who at that point in the game was 0-for-3 with two punch-outs against Corbin Burns. He was just excited to see somebody that wasn't Corbin Burns. So he draws a four-pitch walk to lead off the frame. Next batter, Luis Gonzalez, rookie. Seventh pitch of the at-bat with two strikes on him as well. Hooks it down the right field line, barely stays fair, gone. Two-run homer, 4-2 lead, and then the rest is history. That's it. He gets out of the inning, leaving two stranded, but Jake Cousins gives up the homer. Trevor Gott gave up the first lead. Then Cousins was meant to preserve the tie. Didn't work out. Obviously, we know you didn't have the A bullpen available, given they had to pitch on both Saturday and Sunday in Philadelphia, so you had to get through this game. It didn't work out. Losses happen, but this one just stings a little bit harder. So let's get into some Corbin Burns metrics, shall we? Before we do that, I want to remind you that BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. If there were lines out there for Corbin Burns preseason to win the Cy Young back-to-back, I think you might have been a good call to maybe put a little bit on that. You could have found that out at betonline.net. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including basketball playoffs, of course. Bucks are in action tomorrow. You get the start of Major League Baseball here, of course. There's still action happening there. They're your continued source for all your wagering info, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. You can head to their website today and learn about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. A number that is not something the Brewers want to lead. So since 2020, and including this year, yesterday, the Brewers starter went at least six innings and did not allow a run. At least six innings and did not allow a run. Beyond a quality start. A terrific start. And he gets a no decision. So since the start of 2020, in last season, the Brewers were tied for the baseball lead with five no decisions in such starts. Six innings or more and no runs allowed. In 2022, that is now three already this season. They've only had one back in 2020. So that is now nine starts in which your starter goes at least six innings and no runs allowed, and nine times they have had a no decision. Last year they led the National League in such starts. And it goes a glaring hole back to the offense. Corbin Burns did his job. He gets a no decision, just like Lauer. I don't know what else to say about Corbin other than the fact that he's currently the best pitcher in the National League, and I do not hesitate in saying that. Until Jacob deGrom comes back and proves that he's healthy, Max Scherzer's a great pitcher. When you look at the career, absolutely, Max Scherzer. But when you talk about Corbin Burns, what he does, I mean, he knows, hey, I'm throwing a cutter. Here's a cutter. Hit it. They can't hit it. It's amazing. So what's going on with the offense? We talked about it yesterday. If you haven't, second segment in yesterday's show, talking about the metrics as far as taking a lot of strikes, not swinging at the first pitch, and not chasing pitches. And yet again, last night's game, not a ton of strikeouts for the Brewers offense in this one. They struck out 9 times, which when you bring it up 32, 35, 37 plate appearances, 1-4 isn't a terrible rate in today's game of baseball. It really isn't. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't in today's game. They are not striking out a ton. They're just not getting elevated contact. And they only managed 5 hits in the game. 3 of them were infield hits. It was just a quiet, quiet day offensively. Again, they are now hitting 201 as a team. I understand the frustration, especially after you find your hitting coach and you do everything you needed. And all of a sudden, these new guys, it's no different. Everything's the same. I commend the Brewers for making the change and trying to figure out what's going on, but something's got to change. And I'm not going to freak out or overreact given that we are 17 games into the season, but you're starting to get larger and larger sample sizes at this point of seeing what guys are doing with their approaches. Even Craig Counsell talked about it in yesterday that they're just taking the wrong pitch. They're taking a lot of pitches. They're taking the wrong ones. They're taking too many pitches that are good pitches to hit. I mean, you look at this team right now, the leading hitter on the team is Keston Hira in just 30 plate appearances. He's hitting 240, okay? No one is above 240, and that's even with early season. We're at over 50 at-bats for the majority of this team, okay? Adames is under 200. Wong is under 200. Yelich is under 200. Something's going to click. Something's got to change, and in my opinion, this is my opinion, I don't know how much longer Christian Yelich can bat third. It's just not. If you can move Colton Wong around, and I'm not Craig Counsell, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, quarterback it, but it's just, if you're going to move Colton Wong around, if you're going to move Kutch between the leadoff spot and the cleanup spot, and you're moving everybody else around, I understand the amount of money that's owed to Christian Yelich. You got to try something. He batted in one game batting fifth last year. Maybe try that again. Move Rowdy up. Put Willie, like we saw on Sunday Night Baseball, Willie batted third, Yelich batted second, Kutch led off that game on Sunday night. Let's keep getting creative with this lineup, because right now it's just not sticking for the offense. And I was just clicking around MLB trade rumors, just looking at potential free agents for next season, which would, you know, make you think, okay, maybe they would be available at this year's trade deadline. Well, a lot of them are on contending teams. So like, and instantly I just think of third base, and none of these guys are really going to jump out at you as far as being able to leave their team and come to you. I mean, most notably is Justin Turner, but he's not leaving Los Angeles. When you look in the outfield, do you go and get a guy like, do you go and get a Tommy Pham within the division just at the hope of pop, but he's 35 years old? Do you take a flyer on Justin Upton, who was released by the Angels in spring training? But your outfield is obviously super crowded and just stick him to be a DH. But you've already got Andrew McCutchen for that role. I mean, this is the roster crunch that the Brewers are facing. The roster is pretty set, but they clearly need an addition for power. They clearly need an addition to make a change. Do you go and get Joey Gallo for a rental? That's a lot of strikeouts, though, but it's a lot of big power. I don't see the Tigers parting ways with Robbie Grossman. Will Myers is owed a ton of money out in San Diego. They're in a tough spot right now. They're going to have to get really creative as far as adding to this offense, because as it stands right now, this team, unless something drastically changes here in the next 25 days or so, this could be the team. They have played more close games than anybody in baseball. Yesterday was the 12th game of 17 that was decided by 2 runs or fewer. 12 out of 17 have been decided by 2 runs or fewer. That's one swing. That's one homer. They only hit their 12th homer of the year yesterday. There's a lot of concern. I don't want to harp on it too long, but I understand everyone's concerns with the offense, because it's starting to get to that point where, hey, you know, and it's May in 5-4 days. Like, you can't. It's still early, yes, and you don't look at standings this early, but you start looking at sample size, you start looking at swings, you start looking at approaches. Like, oh man, what's going on here? Do you go and get an Andrew Benintendi in his walk year? I mean, Kansas City is kind of on the cusp of contending this year. Do you go and rent him for half of a season, and then when he hits the market, you know you're not re-signing him? Benintendi's off to a great start. I'm just spitballing here, okay? I'm trying to figure out how to help this offense. Let's get you set for the Brewers, or for the Pirates series. Before we do that, I want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. The ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. And you can endure pointless questioning and almost like interrogation at the counter when you go to your chain store. But you can just go to Rock Auto and you can see everything your part, all the parts your car could ever need just right there in the comfort of your own home. You're going to save time. You're going to save money. You can spend 50 or even 100% markup for the same parts at a chain store. Or you can go to Rock Auto, which is a family business. It's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have everything. Brake parts, tail lamps, new carpet, the little, you know, mats at the bottom of the cup holder. They've got that too. You can explore their easy-to-use website today for the to find the solution for all your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And in their How Did You Hear About Us box, make sure you write Locked On there to let them know that we sent you there. So amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Brewers and Pirates for the second time in the week. Tomorrow, it'll be Brandon Woodruff getting the start against Mitch Keller. Woodruff is now 2-1 with a 4.30 ERA, making his fourth start of the season. Going up against Mitch Keller, who pitched really well against the Brewers in his last go-around. Obviously, the one mistake was the home run hit by Rowdy Tellez. He goes into the sixth inning, only allowed four hits, had seven strikeouts and no walks. So you get to see him in back-to-back starts. Overall, he's 0-3, though, with a 6.23 ERA. And then that's a 5.35 first pitch, by the way, on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Wednesday is also a 5.35. Aaron Ashby gets the spot start. He does not have a win to his tally yet, but only a 3.18 ERA. This will be his fifth game he's pitched in, his second start. He's already thrown 11 innings this year. Keep an eye on the walks. He's got eight walks in 11 innings. That's got to change for Ashby moving forward. Going up against Bryce Wilson, one of the young guns coming out of the Pirates farm system. He's only 24 years old. He was part of a trade with the Braves a few years back. He has got a 6.35 ERA this season with the Pirates. And then finally, a day game on Thursday. That'll be 11.35 Central Time. Jose Quintana, the former White Sox, the former Cub, going up against Freddie Peralta. So you got a pretty good stretch of arms here going up against Pittsburgh to try to figure things out and get back on track. Look, it's just one loss. You're going to be A-OK. Brewers are now 10-7 on the season. We're going to have more episodes this week. We're going to break down things as far as bullpen roles, what's going wrong, what's going right. Trevor Gott was, again, two out runs, the two-run homer by Jock Peterson. That's a big league hitter, man. He won that. He punished a mistake. Trevor Gott's going to learn from that. And then as far as Jake Cousins, his control's been all over the place, and the four-pitch walk to Wilmer Flores is going to keep him up at night. So that's what extended it. Corbin Burns, tough luck, no decision. But some history yesterday, ninth time in Brewers history that they get back-to-back starts with at least 10 strikeouts. That'll do it for this episode. Quick and easy one as we move to Pittsburgh. All right, fun series up ahead. Pirates and Brewers first time heading over to the Steel City this season. My name is Dominic Catronio. Reminder, go to YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Go check out the new In the Hopper episode on Trevor Gott. We got more of those coming up in the pipeline. Episodes all week. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more analysis from the game one of the Pirates series. And Vinny will be back later this week as well. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you right back here tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.